reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. The Pharisees went out and took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. When Jesus realized this, he withdrew from that place. Many people followed him, and he cured them all. But he warned them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through Isaiah the prophet. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom I delight. I shall place my spirit upon him. He will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not contend or cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. The Gospel of the Lord. Two Sundays ago, and again this past Wednesday at Daily Mass, we had the passage from St. Matthew's Gospel, which Jesus tells us to come to him and to learn from him, for he is meek and humble of heart. And in today's Gospel, we see that meekness and that humility, both in Jesus' actions as well as in his fulfillment of this prophecy of Isaiah. He will not contend or cry out. They won't hear his voice in the streets. He won't break a bruised reed. He won't quench a smoldering wick. That he wasn't there to become a professional wrestler who would save by force and by sort of spectacular demonstration. But he would save in a very quiet way. Which didn't mean that the cross isn't conspicuous. But it does mean that we need to learn, in order to enter into that great mystery, how to be meek and humble, to grasp it, because it was missed by the vast majority of people who were alive. They were seeing someone who was crucified as a criminal. We were seeing someone with the good thief who was entering into his kingdom. And so we look with that in mind at the first half of the gospel. The Pharisees were taking counsel against Jesus to put him to death. Why did they want to kill him? Because he was violating their notion of the Sabbath. Actually, as we heard yesterday morning, eating and using their hands to be able to make food as they were crossing through the fields of grain. They were threatening to kill him. They were threatening to get rid of that type of idea. And then what happened? When Jesus realized this, he withdrew from that place. Many people followed him. And all who followed him were cured. But he warned them not to make him known. Not only his place, but what he was doing. And that was to fulfill that first prophecy. Why do I go through this? Because it leads to the feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Why do the Carmelites celebrate Our Lady? Because the Carmelites recognize in her the essence of the Carmelite spirituality, how to follow Jesus to that quiet place where Jesus will totally cure us all. That Mary is the model of the contemplative life, not only to which Carmelites are called, but every Christian is called, to learn from Jesus by following him into prayer, by meeting him there, to learn from Jesus, who is meek and humble of heart, precisely how to imitate that humility and meekness, to imitate his charity, to imitate all his beautiful virtues. And so many of us, any one of us who wears the Carmelite scapula, and I hope that that's all of us, we have entered into that religious family. And when we take on that scapula, it's not just an external sign of a devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, though it is certainly that, but it's meant to point to an interior binding to Mary so that we might be brought evermore into the following of Jesus. Pope Benedict says that the sequela Christi, the following of Jesus, doesn't mean we just kind of tailgate him, doesn't mean we merely try to imitate him, To follow Jesus means we wish to be assimilated into him, to become one with Jesus. And there's no greater teacher of that than Our Lady. And when we take on her scapular, we publicly confess that we want her help and that we're open to it, so that she'd be able to intercede for us to bring about that type of assimilation that she had. Toward the end of today's first reading, when we were finished with a description of the Exodus, the book of Exodus says, "This was a night of vigil for the Lord as he led them out of the land of Egypt. So on this same night, all the children of Israel must keep a vigil for the Lord through all generations." To keep that vigil for the Lord in expectant heart, putting ourselves in his presence with adoring love. We know that the Passover of the Jews was a prefigurement of the new and eternal Passover in Christ's body and blood. And because that wasn't a one-night affair, but an eternal act, we're called to keep constant vigil for the Lord. Constantly living in his presence. Mary shows us how to do that. Our scapular is a reminder of our call to that. And the greatest way to keep that vigil is obviously here at Mass, where we enter into that Passover.